Knoxville. This is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Jingle bell,
all right, and welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm sorry.
What are you doing? Are you okay?
No.
What are you doing? Keep it together. Okay, what are you doing?
Let me explain myself, please. I opened my computer and I opened the internet browser for the first time, and this is what I see, and it is our friend Jesus Oscar Ferreira Jr.
Oh, the Florida man from yesterday.
The Florida man from yesterday. He looks like an interesting individual. It made me laugh.
He's Chance, a Florida man.
We talked about a Florida man yesterday.
Yeah.
You look like a Florida man yourself with the Florida State gear on today.
Wow.
Although you won't be our Florida man of the day. We got plenty of good ones.
Throw me in the category of Florida man.
You're just going to take that chance?
No. No. I like Florida State. I don't look like any Florida man. Have you seen what they look like? There's a whole Reddit themed to Florida man. Literally any day of the week. Type in.
This was our individual from yesterday.
Oh man, he looks like a winner.
We got good ones today.
But the funny thing is, he belongs to the Wyatt family from WWE.
He does. He does. Bray, is that his name?
He does. He does. Well done to both of you.
Florida man's so funny because any day of the week you can type in Florida man does on Google.
Yeah.
And that date, and you're bound to find a story. Any day of the week.
That's what they used to say, right? You could type in Florida man and then your birthday.
Yeah.
And you could always find a hit story, no matter when
Absolutely.
Your birthday was.
Absolutely.
But anyways, that was a good way to start out the show today. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody out there listening. Hope everyone is doing well today. Thank you for tuning in on a Tuesday morning. Today is December 2nd. We're rolling through. My name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left, that is Brandon Orrick. Not joined to my right, that is Charlie Collier. He's on his way in. And, of course, behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
I've been better, Rick. I've been better.
Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty great. No, Charlie, did you guys play trivia last night?
We did. We were going for the three-peat.
Is this where your could be better comes from?
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened? Did Charlie blow it?
We were in first place, ahead by 2 points going into the final question.
Okay, head by two in first place. I'm following.
You know, this is when real winners are made, Chance.
Yeah.
This is where the frauds.
The final jeopardy.
The frauds and the confirmed winners, these are where they're separated.
You're coming up on the wager.
We had to give one number. They would give you clues to numbers, and you had to add those four numbers together.
Wait. Who was on your team?
It was me, John, Cam, Charlie, Jake, and Jamarius.
Okay.
Strong team.
Strong team.
Well-rounded.
But from the station right here, you, John, Cam, and Chuck.
Yes.
Okay.
So the question was, number of total clues on Jeopardy.
Oh, wow.
Number of carats in pure gold. Number president that Dwight Eisenhower was. And number of major keys on the musical scale.
Okay.
That's a tough question.
We thought we had it nailed. And you got a plus or minus four. So
okay. You get eight to work with.
Yes.
Okay.
Chuck, I hate to do it to him. But
no, it's okay. Do it to him.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to.
He went with 51 clues on Jeopardy.
Oh, no.
Ugh.
Wait.
He thought it was a 5x5 board.
What?
25 questions, 2 rounds.
Oh, no.
But it's a 6x5 board.
He convinced us all.
He convinced you all. He was 100%. He's 100%.
He talked us into it.
Oh, no.
Him and Cam.
Oh, no.
Oh, him and Cam. So Cam's also stupid.
You don't have to apologize for
But the rest, I had Dwight Eisenhower nailed.
Who got the keys?
We were off on that one.
Oh,
but not by much.
Bummer.
I think if we had gotten the Jeopardy question, we would have still fallen in the range.
What was Eisenhower, like 35th?
34.
Mm. You know, I'm thinking back to the question that y'all missed, right?
The
one that you say that...
Dwight Eisenhower.
Yeah. It's a great concept.
Thank you for our interstate.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that one.
You learn something. Very educational show here on the Blitz.
Yeah. Yes. Learn something new every day. I feel like maybe I can take a little bit of responsibility for your loss, although, you know, not really.
Yeah, you want to know why?
Because I think I know why.
The Jeopardy board that you made
right now
was a 5x5. Charlie
had that in his head.
That was the first ever introduction to Jeopardy that Charlie has ever had. Yeah. He didn't watch the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
After the question,
that's his fault.
After the question, he said, "My only prior Jeopardy experience was on the show."
And how could he? Wow. And I bet y'all were all like, seriously? We went with this guy's answer when his only experience was playing Blitz Jeopardy? Jeopardy? Not even Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Jeopardy.
That had to get sliced and edited in order to fit a radio segment instead of a 30-minute cable television show.
Oh, my God.
So you lost
because of Chuck.
Wow. I mean, I'm not going to put the loss squarely on Charlie.
I will. Oh, definitely.
Awful.
Definitely. Charlie, if you're listening, this is why you lose when you don't cheat.
This is also what happens when you can't come in and defend yourself for a segment.
The table was very divided. Very divided afterwards,
too, I bet.
All right, here comes the bull in a china shop.
Yeah,
himself.
Right?
Charlie, we're going to give you about 20 seconds because otherwise I think you're going to take 12 minutes.
Be a little easy.
Legitimately, 30 seconds.
Coming here just like the bear.
I've been listening.
Just like
Charlie,
the bear.
Charlie, lower.
I've been listening. I will not take this slander from you, Florida man Chance. from you, Brandon Bork.
You confused Jeopardy with Jeopardy.
Charlie, that was him.
But
they
anyway.
Weren't asking the questions about Blitz Jeopardy. They're asking about real Jeopardy,
Here's what happened. Me and John Reeder.
You were a bad teammate.
Let me talk, please.
Let Charlie say his
piece. Me and John Reeder sitting on the back end of the table, away from Cam, who's writing the questions. And they start listing off what we have to have the numbers for one by one. And John Reed writes Jeopardy and immediately writes -51. And then we go on to the next ones. And I knew that it was 24 carats. So I leaned in and I said 24 carats and then 51 for Jeopardy, like I was relaying what he wrote down. And then I said that I don't even watch Jeopardy. I said that. So this whole thing about Charlie arguing for the team, you know, Charlie convinced everyone it was 51. I was relaying what John Reed said. And then John Reed tried to accuse me
and put the
blame on me, and it is entirely John Reed's fault.
No.
Wow.
Well, no.
Chance, it looks like we have two sides of the story here. It looks like on one side of the coin, it says that Charlie had, quote, convinced the entire table of the answer. Chance, on the other side of the coin, we have that it was merely a relayed message. We have the evidence on both sides. Judge Collins.
I have one more thing I'd like to add.
Oh, go ahead.
More evidence.
This is your closing argument.
Yeah. Look at me. Look at me by the end.
He's the judge,
I want
to be the bailiff.
And then think about me at the end of Trivia Night, too. Do I really look like the kind of guy?
No, I'm not trusting your final trivia question.
No, do I really look like the kind of guy that all five people are going to be like, yeah, that guy, he's right, 51. Yes, we need to listen to him more often. Yes, he's convinced the whole table. No, they're just like,
I don't know, you kind of convinced me. I'm not going to take your answer at the end of Jeopardy or at the end of final trivia because, like you said, look at you. I mean, he just said it. He said it. He said, look at me.
He said, look at me.
He said, this guy, do you think I'm going to be like, pretty much what he's saying, do you think I'm going to be coherent by the end of trivia?
Not what I was saying.
That's what it sounded like. You were like, by the end of trivia, somebody going to listen to this guy.
I did not. I had forgotten the information that there was a bit of a argument between what happened between Charlie and John.
It got loud, didn't it? Two big guys loud, too.
They're both loud, too. Quite the argument about it.
They're both loud. Like John can be loud when he's making his point.
Furthermore, we were one off on Eisenhower, and we were four off on the musical notes because we put 8 instead of 12, so that would have put us 5 away even if we got the 61 instead of the 51. So it's kind of a mute point.
I could see it. A little kerfluffle at the end. Button of the heads. So, at the end when you guys lost that, did you like just storm out mad? Did John storm out mad?
No, we stayed until the bar closed.
Okay. Okay.
I did see that John took out some of his frustrations, though, on the Twitter machine.
Oh, oh.
Came out immediately, said,
"Oh, about
we
trivia?
We blew trivia tonight. I'm upset about it."
Oh.
Well, like I said, we were going for the three-peat.
Who are you guys playing that you can three-peat every week?
No, we have a really good team.
I'm not saying that you don't, but how many teams are actually playing?
Like,
it seems like y'all
are winning. About Chance 15, is saying
maybe you should raise
plus.
Your standards from the local middle school trivia games.
I don't see y'all out there.
I don't see y'all out there.
Let's talk about sports.
Bravo. Well, you guys will get them next time.
Great.
You just have to start it over.
That was great.
You guys got a little dynasty going in trivia, though, huh?
I mean, there was a point in the summer where we were winning, like, every week for months.
Hmm.
Florida man chance.
Okay, dumb Charlie. You can call me Florida man chance the whole show and not act like I'm going to say something back. Like Brandon said, let's get to the sports.
I can't do it.
Rick's going to – he can't – can you start us off?
Yeah, I'll start us off. Let's start. I'm tired. You know what? I'm tired of starting negative every day. Tired of starting with Tennessee football every day and being negative. So you know what? That's not what we're going to do today.
You're telling me that I start us negative every day?
No.
Golly.
No, I'm just saying. Because, I mean, most of the time, that's what's
brilliant.
Okay,
I hear you. Where do you want to take it? Where do you want to take it?
Tennessee basketball. We got a new opening game.
You're darn right we do.
I told you.
Did Ricky go get us one?
Yeah, he got us one.
Well, wait. Let me guess. We playing somebody like UNC Charlotte or something? I really don't know. I'm just guessing. It's going to be close.
Similar, but it's an in-state team.
Carson Newman?
No. They're Division I.
Okay. Well, tell us, Brandon.
We will tell you, we will give you that game and that date, tell you exactly who to look forward to as Tennessee basketball is actually just around the corner. We thought we were going to have to wait a couple more days, but just like Brandon said right there, Rick Barnes went out and we got ourselves a basketball season opener. So we will give you that information right after the break. We'll tell you who Tennessee is going to play. We'll tell you when they're going to play it, and then we'll just get into the rest of the show for today. Hey, stick with us today, 865-546-8200. That is, of course, your number to call in. Otherwise, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so it's this one and... it's the Christmas in Hollis, but then they also have Christmas Is, I think.
They're
both outstanding.
Very underrated Christmas album.
Or at least that's the two that I remember best. Yeah, good songs. Run DMC Christmas. It's a banger this time of year. Check it out. All right, back here on The Blitz, by the way, 10:20 a.m. We got the full crew in-house. By the way, Charlie, we didn't get a chance to say it. Good morning. How are you doing, my friend?
Good morning, Freddie. How are you? I'm doing good.
Whoa.
Oh, man. Shots fired all around this morning.
Whoa.
Ooh, you know it's going to be a good day. You know it's going to be a good day.
No one is spared.
Like Brandon said, it's also a good day because we got a little bit of good news to talk about today, especially in the basketball department. So, breaking news of, yesterday, was that Tennessee has found a new season-opening opponent. And this game will be tipping off on Wednesday, December 9th. So, just 1 week from today, the Vols will open their season in basketball, where they will be hosting UT Martin in the season opener. The game is scheduled to tip off at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time and will be streamed on SEC Network Plus.
I like it.
There you go.
I mean, it's not the biggest game. It's not Gonzaga. It's not VCU. It's not Notre Dame. But
it's a warm-up game to get you ready.
It is a game to get us
on the court.
Well, for one, just to get you another game on your schedule. And two, get you a little warm-up game before you have to go play Cincinnati. So,
yeah, I'm glad that they did get a game. I was kind of worried if you just go right into Cincinnati. I mean, they're no slouch.
No.
So that's huge. And we figured it would be – If not in state, somewhere nearby. Thought it might be for somewhere in North Carolina.
I mean, that's Barnes. Closer than Martin.
Yeah. So. No, it definitely is.
Yeah. And again, like, I think these guys are probably just so eager to get on the court. I mean, you got to think, by just 2 weeks ago, these guys would have basically planned to have a couple of huge games by now. Would Gonzaga have been already played, weekend. Or that it would
be tonight? It would be tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Tonight. That would have been today. Like, these guys were gearing up to play the number one team in the country today. I bet they are so eager to get out on the court and just start playing real ball now instead of just socially distanced practice ball. I think this is awesome. You get the team back out on the court, like everyone's been saying. You get them shaped up, and then you can approach that kind of – maybe that Cincinnati matchup in a little bit of a different mindset than you had prior to scheduling this game.
And also, Barnes out of COVID isolation. Say, yeah.
Barnes is free.
He spent 10 days in isolation. He is out now after testing positive for COVID.
Fantastic.
Did you know that we've only played Martin 4 times, by the way?
Ever?
Ever. We are 4-0 against UT Martin.
I know.
The last time we played him, it was 68.
Oh, okay. Go for the go. I want to see if Brandon can get the year, because I know you'll know it.
The last time we played him was 68-62.
Can you guess the year? Do you have any idea?
Not a fun game to watch. Frustrating.
2012.
Oh, so close.
Subtract 2.
2010. Dang, way closer than I thought. The program's last faced on the December 29th of 2010. Tennessee is 4-0, leading back to all the way to 1993. Tennessee is 60-2 all time against the Ohio Valley Conference, by the way. That's a nice little stat. Easy enough as is. It's not a giant game. I think we need to especially preview a week out. But hey, Tennessee basketball, we got a season opener on the schedule. Got a little bit earlier than we might have imagined. So, hey, we'll get back on the court next week, see if we can get ourselves a good win.
How depressing is it that we don't get Gonzaga tonight?
Very.
It is, but then also, I mean, you'd be like, well, maybe that's a good thing at a certain point. Gonzaga looks really, really good. Might have been a beating, but also might have prepared you for the rest of the way. I mean, I would like for them to play them, but maybe sometimes it's a good thing.
Yeah, win or lose, I just want to play.
I think I might be with you, Chance. But either way, that's in the past now. I hadn't even noticed that I guess today would have actually been the day we would have played him. That does kind of stink in the long run. But, you know, it is what it is. But let's see. Can't wait for this basketball season so far. Kentucky had a big game last night in which – they lost.
Oh, yeah.
They lost again?
They lost to Kansas, 65-62.
Oh, they did have a big game.
You want to know something?
What's that?
Of all the crap that you all give me for liking Cal.
You do like Cal.
I do.
He loves Cal.
I'll say
like
it.
Cal?
He's got his poster in his room.
I thought that was a joke.
No.
I
he
do
likes,
like
Cal. He likes
John Calipari. Oh, you are disgusting.
I like
Cal.
Scum.
And he tries to say that we all do, too. And I don't know how you can say that because John Calipari has beat us.
I would donate $1,000 to charity to punch him in the face right now.
Whoa.
There you go. I'm with you.
I think he's good for the game. But I despise Kentucky.
You don't think he's good for the game. You love him as a coach.
I mean, I think he's fun.
You probably write fan mail to him.
Probably do. You probably do.
So they lose another one. But, I mean,
anyway,
more respectable
to Kansas.
Say you don't.
Deny that. He can't.
Anyway.
He can't deny the fan mail thing.
I don't write fan mail. Mm. Who writes fan mail?
You.
Snail mail. Whatever you want to call it, Brandon.
Anyway.
Geriatric. Brandon.
Anyway, you're stalling. Rick refused to root against Kentucky last night. He wanted Kentucky to win.
Whoa. Why?
This is true. Don't let him lie to you.
I've never wanted Kentucky to win.
Exactly.
I can reason with that.
Oh, Charlie.
I can understand.
Sure.
Come spin
so,
Charlie.
By the way, I never wanted Kentucky to win. I both teams stink. Like, how do we? Of course, we can all agree on this. Both teams are the worst. If either team lost, if pompous Kansas loses, it's amazing. If pompous Kentucky loses, it's incredible. But for me in that moment, I would have rather look. I have a Kansas fan that's very close to me. I don't know any Kentucky fan. I have not let a single Kentucky fan ever infiltrate my personal friend bubble, and I probably never will. So when they win, I genuinely never have to hear about it. I have Kansas fans in my bubble, Brandon, and we all know this feeling. Everybody knows the feeling of when you got somebody in your bubble that you don't like. Yeah, I am stalling right now. I am eating your lunch money with this argument that you thought you were going to get me with. But no, we all got people in the bubble. So I had Kansas fans chirping in my ear. You know, that's annoying. We don't want to deal with that.
All right, let me.
You didn't think that was going where you thought it was.
Now let me hit you with a better argument. Argument number one, Kentucky plus 3.5. That's a pretty good reason to root for Kentucky. Two, yeah, it's fun to watch them lose to like Richmond and Evansville, and the fun of that outweighs the damage that it does to their RPI and such. But in these big games, them winning is better for the SEC because if their RPI goes up, or I guess it's not RPI, it's the new one now that they've been doing for a couple years. It's escaping my brain. But, you know, if their resume...
I always said I like this guy, Brandon.
If their resume...
I always said it.
...is improved in the non-conference, and that means every SEC team that they play, resume is then improved. Their new RPI number is improved, and that means when we play them and when we beat those SEC teams that Kentucky then played, our RPI number also goes up, which is better for our seeding. So I do... As much as I don't like the SEC, you know, I hope that they win some big games at a conference, and I hope that, you know, they can all be better teams so when we get into SEC play, there aren't opportunities for bad losses and there are opportunities for good wins to boost our resume and get us a better seed. Boom.
Well. Oh my God! You look so miserable sitting there.
I stopped listening when he started arguing for Kentucky.
I knew that Brandon couldn't have cared less.
There's no reason to ever root for Kentucky.
It's too complicated. Kentucky. I'm a big brain over here.
We play Kansas. I don't care. We play Kansas. If we didn't play Kansas, it'd be different. I always want Kentucky to lose. Always.
You know, I don't know who she is talking about in this song, but A, if it was me, I'd accept. And B, I would change the answer to maybe some December, January Tennessee basketball wins.
It's Nick Cannon.
That's a good one, Brandon. They got divorced, though. That was a good one. They do have twins together.
I love Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon.
Said no one ever.
It was always really funny to think that he was hosting The Masked Singer and Wildin' Out at the same time. Like, I always just really hoped he switched up the days one time and showed up to The Masked Singer in his, like, Wildin' Out apparel.
It is a good show. It is a good show. Tennessee basketball got big games in December, big games all throughout these next months coming up. Remember, the season is going to get off and running very quickly. As SEC games are just around the corner, but we're talking about this Kansas and Kentucky game from last night. We'll talk a little bit about where they are in relation to Tennessee's schedule. Also have a couple more basketball things for you, but first wanted to let you know about this right here. Man, whether it is the NFL game coming up in just a couple hours, actually, how about a little Wednesday afternoon? Yeah, how about a little Wednesday afternoon NFL action? So that's coming up. You can get off work. Make sure you got something to do for that game because, you can bet on it with our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook. The FanDuel Sportsbook right now is legal for our friends in Tennessee. And you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Really, there is no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. And if you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And with the FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets, those are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays where you can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they'll get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code BLITZ so they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BLITZ. Remember, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is not withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right, Brandon, I gave you two things that we could talk about with Tennessee basketball. Talk a little bit about the schedule, right? Just kind of give a little bit of a reminder about what some of the games are coming up, some of the stretches of key games, or I can jump over to some of this player news I have real quick.
Player news.
All right. Well, just a couple of days ago, it was announced, the candidates for the John R. Wooden Award. It had announced its preseason top 50 watch list. The Wooden Award, correct me if I'm wrong here, goes to the top overall college basketball player in the country.
That is correct.
Well, Tennessee has two players who has made this top 50 preseason watch list for the John R. Wooden Award. And you would have, of course, John Fulkerson and Eve Pons.
I'm a little surprised that they both made it, that they both made the list.
Yeah, I thought it might just be Pons on that list.
He says top 50?
Yes. I'm trying to find exactly.
Top 50 players in college basketball, huh?
I mean,
I figured it'd be Fulkerson before Pons.
I mean, I just would figure it'd be Pons. He's been defensive player of the year, and then his potential that NBA scouts think. When you look at Fulke, I think he's improved a lot, and he's a great player. But I don't think he's John Wooden player of the year. I don't think either one of them can actually win the award.
I'm really excited to see what they can both do together this year, because it really feels like they both, you know, especially last year was a big year in which they both took steps forward. And now to see them come in that shape and have those two be the guys that lead your team, I think we're really in for something special. Brandon, can you name the last Tennessee player to be on the national ballot for the Wooden Award?
Grant Williams?
It has to be.
That is correct. Can you name the only Tennessee player in history to win the Wooden Award consecutively 2 years in a row?
Bernard.
And you got to think outside the box a little bit because of the way I worded it, I guess.
To win it 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
Allen Houston.
Yeah. Either Allen Houston or Bernard had to be.
Not men's basketball.
No.
Oh, Candace Parker.
There you go. There you go. I knew that one was going to give it away right away. Yeah. But Candace actually
won the
Women's Wooden Award consecutively in 2007. In 2008. So there you go. But
shout out to the boys, Fulke and Pons.
Yeah, I obviously think it's just, you know, continued national recognition for this Tennessee program and to where it's going to be and where it's going. But, you know, talking about this Kansas and Kentucky game last night, knowing both of those teams are on the schedule coming up for Tennessee, I kind of wanted to take a look back at the schedule real quick. And especially when looking at those two teams, Brandon, there is going to be a point kind of from January to the beginning of February where Tennessee's going to have to play both of those teams within a three-game span. You'll have Kansas on the 30th of January. Then you go to Ole Miss on the 2nd of February. And then just 4 days later, you have a road game against Kentucky. It's a little bit of a tough stretch right there.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And I mean, I believe there are some tough games kind of around that one too, right?
Yeah. Before Kansas, it looks like you'll have a stretch of Florida, Missouri, Mississippi State. And then coming out of Kentucky, you'll have Florida, LSU, South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's pretty tough. The Kansas, Ole Miss, Kentucky, and then it was Florida. After that, LSU. Yeah, That's a pretty tough stretch.
You know,
really, from that Kansas to that second Kentucky game, I mean, every single one of those games, I mean, conference play is not easy.
Yeah. These are really, I mean, obviously these SEC teams are going to be tough, and these are going to be tough stretches of games. But looking at the schedule right now, there are two ranked teams on Tennessee's schedule, and that is Kansas and Kentucky, the two teams we've been talking about.
Yeah, but then again, I say that about those games being tough, but I believe LSU's already lost. The conference hasn't looked great as a whole to start off the year.
If you are realistic, like, if you're just looking at the schedule, and I wonder if we have the, you know, if anybody's done the statistical projections and things like that, but I mean, knowing that Tennessee is a top 15 team in the country and kind of expecting Tennessee to be there, I mean, you would think that Tennessee is going to be expected to win or very much favored in, what, 90% of the games this season? Maybe barring the, I would say definitely the Kansas game, unless, you know, they stumble or maybe you're rolling into that game. And then maybe the road Kentucky game, I would think you might be underdogs. But for the rest of the season, and knowing there's other good teams in the SEC, but just knowing that not, you know, none of them are ranked at this current moment, you are pretty much going to be favored to win, I would say, all but right now, two games.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much that means for the season, but that's just surprising for me to look at it. That's not something that Tennessee basketball has had very much of. And granted, you get Gonzaga off the schedule. That would have been one, too. But I genuinely am kind of surprised by that, knowing that the SEC has talent. They just haven't done enough to be ranked right now. Ranked in the top 25 teams in the country, except for Kansas and Kentucky, and then obviously us.
Yeah, well, LSU, like I said, LSU was the only other team that was ranked in the conference, and they lost.
Yeah.
LSU's got a former great son playing for them.
Shaq's son, right?
Yeah, Sharif O'Neal. He had been committed to UCLA, and he had a heart issue, and so he had to sit out for a year, maybe even a little bit longer. And he was thinking about where he was going to go, and now he has made his way, and he is on the LSU roster now. Yeah, I saw a picture of Shaq in the stands watching him this past week.
Did Shaq, did he wear 32 in college as well?
I don't know. I don't think
because
he did.
I did see a picture of Shaq's son, and so I believe he is wearing number 32 at LSU. As I think, like a double reference.
Yeah, Shaq wore 33. I thought that's what I said.
Okay, so
33
I think,
at LSU.
I think the son, and if you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's wearing 32 because I believe he you know did a tribute that on one hand it is the 24 plus 8 for Kobe, but on the other hand it's the nod to you know his dad's professional.
No, I think that is right because they even talked about he was really close with Kobe. Obviously, Shaq and Kobe played for many years together, and he had a tweet that like. Went very much viral that he had talked to Kobe like a day before the helicopter crash, and Kobe like kind of was I guess giving him some inspirational message back.
Yeah.
And yeah, so him and Kobe were very, very close.
You know, Brandon, whether it's the LSU team that we're talking about right here, Arkansas right now off to the hottest start in the SEC. I mean, only 2-0.
But
are there any of the SEC teams, I guess, that we're talking about who obviously aren't ranked, so they aren't Kentucky, but who are some of the teams that, you know, might not be ranked right now, but you think definitely are not to be slept on coming up this season?
Well, I mean,
I know that some of these, you know, like in Alabama has just given Tennessee fits for years in a row now.
Yeah,
so, like,
I mean,
for instance, that would be one of mine.
I said that about Arkansas, but I do think Arkansas is going to be a pretty good team. I think A&M will be pretty good. South Carolina, I feel like they're always just a team that's just tough physical.
I mean, Frank Martin's a great coach, and this is the best South Carolina roster he's had since
the
Final Four, if not even before that. So South Carolina, definitely watch out for. And then, you know, like Florida has a talented roster. I mean, it's Mike White coaching, but still a good roster. Musselman in Arkansas, Nate Oates in Alabama should both be a lot better this year. LSU did lose to St. Louis in unconvincing fashion, but they have a pretty good roster as well.
Yeah, obviously by the time that Tennessee meets up with plenty of these teams, they will be much more in a more conditioned shape.
Auburn's taking some lumps early, but again, they have talent and they're using these opportunities to learn, I guess you could say.
And I'll say this about them too. I certainly feel like Kentucky is our biggest basketball rival, But over the last couple of years, just by circumstance, you know, by hook or by crook, really, it feels like Auburn has been our next biggest basketball rival. I mean, we've had serious beef with them going back and forth.
But that's been because of the Bruce Pearl. Well, like, I mean, I'd say that there have been some good games between Tennessee and Auburn has come ahead of you, like, especially when you need some wins. They've taken you out. But that's, I feel like, the rivalry comes from Bruce Pearl.
I totally agree. Yeah. I don't think that every rivalry has to be, you know, built in 50 years of tradition. We obviously see how much our rivalry versus Alabama sucks.
We'll see how much rivalry they have this year. They can't get to a postseason. Take that, Auburn.
There you
can't
go.
Even play in the postseason.
Like, I think that, you know, we may not really care about them 5 years from now, but I will always remember this, you know, this stretch of time where it felt like, you know, we really hated Auburn and Auburn really hates us, and it's consistently us at the top of the conference. So, again, that's another team that I still think has carryover. They still play Tennessee well. They still don't like Tennessee. And I think that Bruce obviously still absolutely does everything he can to win that game every year. So, again, that's going to be a tough one. But really top to bottom, just looking at this schedule, two ranked teams on the schedule right now. Tennessee will be favored in the vast, vast majority of these games. We'll see how this basketball season plays out. Remember, we are only 1 week away from Tennessee hoops tipping off against UT Martin right here in Thompson Bowling Arena. 865-546-8200, that is your number to call in. Casey would like to talk a little bit about this Tennessee basketball team. We will switch gears over to football coming up soon in case you want to talk about that as well. Chance, did you have anything?
No, I think you covered it all.
I thought I might have interrupted you there. All right, otherwise we will
Talk more crap about Auburn.
There you go. We'll take this break right here, come back on the other side. We will see you there.
Hey folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin.
You know, I was reading a weird story this morning. Not that we have what I would call real jobs or anything. Oh, we get a dream job. We get to sit here and talk about bad sports teams. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? But there's some of us out there, and many of our listeners out there, they work a more typical 9-to-5, 5 days a week work week. Brand, you were never about that, were you? That's why you're doing this thing, right?
Right.
The 9-to-5. You didn't want to do that.
Right.
Obviously.
Many people, look, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want the 9-to-5, and I hope I never have to do that. However, our friends over in New Zealand, Chance, I was reading about this earlier. Our friends over in New Zealand, they don't like that anymore either. It seems as though the first big company is experimenting with a 4-day work week. So Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream, of all things, Ben and Jerry's is starting with all their New Zealand people. They're going to try the first 4-day work week for the whole company.
And just for 8-hour days.
For 10-hour days.
Oh, you're still getting 40 hours. That's how they got you.
But I feel like
that sounds 1,000 times better.
I feel like if I was working a 9-to-5, 5 days a week, I would take that trade in a heartbeat. I would work 7-to-5 and then have my Friday off.
You'd think that, but then they get you like, well, you work 4 10s, but I'll give you Monday, Tuesday off. Or, you know, something like that, like where it's not going to be a weekend.
Oh, so you think they might actually shift the work week.
Well, I just know a lot of people who work 10-hour days that work only 4 days a week, or they might work 12-hour shifts and, you know, work 3 to 4 days a week. And a lot of times, even though they're only working 3 or 4 days a week, their weekends are like Monday, Tuesday.
I guess, and you got to think
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or something like that. Which is not bad.
The company might not want just the company to go, you know, radio silent for 3 straight days. You might have staggered workers.
Yeah.
Okay, so that kind of leads me into where I was going with next, though. And that is my theory about what the NFL is doing right now. I think that, yes, the NFL certainly wants to figure out a way for these games to get played. And I'm specifically kind of talking about this Wednesday afternoon game that we have coming up later today at 3:45. Yes, I think that the NFL was moving that game for, obviously, scheduling concerns. But I do kind of wonder about the theory. Is the NFL working and just kind of maybe experimenting a little bit by expanding their own schedule throughout the week? I mean, at first, we all know how it happened. Traditionally, it was always on Sundays. And then they said, well, no one's doing anything on Monday. So they added a Monday night football game in. Then, Thursday. Well, you can't do it on Thursdays. All the great cable shows, they're on Thursday nights. You'll never get ratings. Oh, NFL is now dominating Thursday nights. So, could we see, we've had a couple Tuesday night games so far this year. We're trying even a Wednesday night game. What do you think about the theory that maybe the NFL is kind of trying to at least just roll the dice and just see if it works with a little bit of an expanded schedule week? And I'm not saying that there's any time close. I'm not saying that they're going to go Wednesday afternoon. We got to do that next year. But I would imagine that they're taking some numbers from all this. They're going, well, what if? What if we could expand to just Tuesday nights as well?
I think eventually you will have the NFL expand more days. I mean, it's just inevitable. They've over the years, slowly, you know, more football.
They've added a little bit more.
And they've wanted football to be a 365
calendar year. And look what they do with Saturdays as well when the college football season's over. The second they can jump to Saturdays, they do it as well because obviously the NFL wants to spread out their product so that you and your fans, you are watching it and you are tuned into it almost every single day of the week.
Yeah. Look, that's why they spread out all the off-season stuff.
I feel like we talked about this a little bit earlier this week. I mean, again, I'm sure they would love to play on every day if possible, but it's not possible. You can't have Tuesday night football. The bodies of these players don't have enough time to recover. You can't ask teams to play on Tuesday night and then turn around and play on Sunday. That's just unfair to the players. That'll never, ever get through with the NFL Players Association. They'll never agree to that. The only solution would be, like we mentioned also earlier this week, is you would have to treat it like an NFL London game. You would have to start. You couldn't start Tuesday night football until week three or week four when teams start to have byes. And then once teams are done with byes around week 12 or week 13, you'd then have to quit Tuesday night football. Because if you're going to ask a team to play on Tuesday night football, just like those London games then when you had to travel to London, your next week needs to be a bye week. It's just impossible to turn around and play on Sunday. That's unhealthy for the players and a competitive disadvantage.
I see what you're saying about, you know, the traditional time that, you know, it's been worked in, but and obviously I don't know about the arguments that were made the time before, but I wonder if people were saying that about, you know, Thursday night games and Monday night games when they first got added. I wonder what the NFL can do because on one hand, I totally agree with you, and I think to myself, I don't really see how they can add that in the middle of the week. But on the other hand, I think, you know, the NFL is going to do whatever it takes to make the most money possible and to expand their product. It's just a theory, but something I just wanted to put on the table, something that I found interesting. Otherwise, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two, it's on deck.
The McRib is back.